Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Z Hour, an interactive talk show celebrating the written word. Presented by the Zahme Publishing Press, www.zahme.com. That's ZHARMAE.com.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Written Word from Radio Z. Today is Sunday. It is September 20th, 2015, and it is the best time of the week, in my personal opinion. 4 o'clock on Sunday is when we are here, and yeah. We get weird, we have fun. It's honestly one of my favorite things to do. It is my favorite time of the week, and I hope that it's yours. So, today's episode is odd habits that you've developed. Now, this doesn't have to particularly be related to writing. We are the written word, but if you just have something really, really weird that you do that you think would be interesting enough to share, please share it. We would love to hear from you. The phone number to call in if you have any odd habits that you have developed, the phone number is 347-996-3900, and we would love, love, love to take your calls and hear about all the weird stuff that you do. Now, we will be joined shortly by Tempest Sounders and Ben Gon, both have been on the show before. We love them, and yes, they are amazing authors with us here at Zahme. And, yeah, we're going to talk about all their weird habits that they've developed, writing or non-writing related. Now, if you haven't yet, and I know you probably have, because I do, I'm very good at bartering this, I think. Begging for this, maybe. But if you haven't already liked our Facebook page, please go head over to Facebook and type in Radio Z dash the written word in your search box, or go to facebook.com/TZPPRadioZ and please click that like button. You have no idea how important a like button is, unless, of course, you're in the industry or you're an author or a business owner or you have a Facebook page, then you know. But if you don't, they're very important. They're kind of the lifeblood of us here at Radio Z, those Facebook fans. And Facebook is a great way to communicate with us, with me. We love to hear from you. You can suggest topics. You can challenge me. If you don't like the way I do something, tell me about it. Just make sure to use the Facebook and to hit the like button before you do. So, today's episode is brought to you by First Reads First, that's Reads with a Z. If you haven't been there yet, I'm sure I can't sway you, but please give it a try. There's tons of books on there. You get to read the first chapters, and yeah, it's a great way to get a sneak peek at some amazing novels from some brilliant writers. A lot of the writers that we actually have had on this show, you might actually kind of know them. So, First Reads First, that's readswithaz.com. We should be getting a caller. I'm on a different computer setup, so bear with me today if I'm a little bit awkward. But I am in Renton today. I always make comments about how the weather is super bipolar here in Seattle. I was over in the Spokane area where it's pretty consistent. Like, you get several months of the same weather. I mean, you know, it's a little iffy here and there, but yeah, it's like, In the Seattle area, you can wake up and it'll be freezing and pouring down rain, or like hailing or like ice storming. And then in the afternoon, it can be like 90 degrees and you're sweating and you're like, I don't understand what's happening. It's really quite funny because today was actually very windy, but it was very warm, like warm enough to wear shorts again. But then now that it's the afternoon, it's kind of like the clouds are rolling in and it's getting all cold and gray, and it's just, I guess that's why they always say when you live in Seattle, you have to layer, because you have to be prepared for any kind of weather at any given time. But I almost like having the show every week and getting to show you the contrast, like, you know, oh, it's 95 degrees today, and oh, it's 40 degrees and hailing, and just like so it's pretty cool. But I'm actually going to be doing some traveling here soon, and so hopefully I'll be able to report on the weather from across the country, or at least maybe some Oregon weather before the end of the year. So our first caller is here, thank goodness, because I'm rambling about the weather, which is like a really, like, no. At least I should normally be rambling about books. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good, you saved me.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad.
Unless, of course, you'd like to hear about, you know, the barometric pressure or something, because I just started going on about the weather, which is very odd for me.
Oh, no, that's okay. Blue skies all around. So, I've been on the show once before, I think. I think it was about a month ago, to talk about villains.
Oh, the villain episode.
That was fun.
That was very fun.
Yes.
This is my favorite question to ask. Who's your favorite villain? And we had a whole episode that was brilliant.
I know. But today, I understand we're talking about something a little removed from that.
A little bit? Well, it depends. I mean, if you have villainous habits...
If I had villainous habits, I wouldn't announce it on the radio. That would make me a pretty poorly thought out villain.
But then you'd be one of those villains that tells everybody everything. So that's actually kind of a villainous habit when you announce your plans to everybody on the radio.
True, but I don't think I can. I think I'd find a way of hijacking a broadcast so I could have it all to myself if I was to do a villainous announcement.
Oh, okay.
Also, I'd want visual cues, so I might have to take over a TV station for that.
Mm.
Not that I've thought about this at all.
Of course not. Doesn't sound premeditated at all.
No, there's no diagrams in my room.
So even though we had you on, you know, not too long ago, I do have to interview you. So I'm probably going to ask you the same exact questions. maybe just a little bit different questions. But, you know, someone might be listening and they might not have heard you last time or they might not remember. So just to cover all our bases. So why don't you go ahead and just give us kind of like a bio, you know? Tell us who you are and what you do.
Okay. My name is Ben Bermingham. I'm from Toronto, Canada. I'm 19 years old. I have my first called Which Man Road coming out with Nizami Publishing Press. And I think just a couple months now, it's urban fantasy. That's my specialty. Urban fantasy fiction with a little bit of mix of historical fiction. When I'm not writing, I'm a study of English literature at the University of Toronto. I'm in my second year there. And then I sit at home and I read comic books. Which isn't I'm not paid for that. I just do it. Other than that, I've been writing for about 5 years, which is kind of shocking to say out loud. And while the first book of my series will be published in coming months, I'm actually about halfway through the fourth right now. Actually, I think the last time I was on the show, I still hadn't finished the third one. That's about it.
So how do you go about writing a book? Do you have any tips or tricks, or do you do anything weird to get in the mindset?
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about strange things I think we do to write all of today. But I think the most important thing that I have to tell anyone who hasn't previously written and who wants to and, you know, says, oh, I've always had, something that I find people say to me a lot is, oh, man, I've always had a great story that I think could be turned into a book. I just can't do it. Just do it. Just, you have to sit down and put words on paper, and you have to pretend you're not ashamed of those words. even if you think you've written the most awful 5 pages all of recorded human history, it doesn't matter. That's what editing and revising and getting better is for. But you have to just, I think, is incredibly important. Things that I do at this point, I don't know. It's become quite fluid. I make sure to drink after being properly to drink caffeine, so I'm properly awake, because I find that if I'm not, I skip words, and then when I go back to look at it, it's very confusing because I don't know what I was trying to say. I think it's important to really know the end before you start the beginning. Like, I make sure the first thing I do when I open a new document to start a new manuscript is I write out a list of chapter titles. So I have them all there, and they could change. But that's always the first thing I do, so I understand where I'm headed, and there's no runarounds or deviations, but it just hopefully goes smoothly from my first idea to my last.
So where do you find inspiration? Or how do you find inspiration?
That's a decent question. Like I said, I'm a study of English literature, so, you know, there's very few times in the week where I'm not being exposed to some new method of storytelling, or some new tale or fiction or idea or understanding. So really, inspiration can come from anywhere. I get from classes. I try not to work after having recently read a book or watched a movie, because I don't want to be overtly influenced by anything, although, of course, you know, we all are. I think a lot of my inspirations come from, I was a big, like, bookish, geeky kid growing up. You know, I'd sit in the playground and read. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of my inspiration comes from books that I've read as a kid, and things that I watched and saw and absorbed all throughout my life. If you really, you know, need some good inspiration, for me, good inspiration is pick up, like, a good history book, and just, you'll find something where you're like, that can't actually happen, but it did, and that's incredible, and, you know, nothing is stranger than real life.
Very true. So, if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
I would say particle manipulation. Although that's a very gosh, that's kind of a cheap answer, because I'm really saying I want the power to do anything, like anything. that if you've seen the movie or read the comic, The Watchmen, it's the blue naked guy's power. You know, really, the world is his playground. So I'd like that, but without losing my humanity, short of becoming a god, which I guess is a little bit of a worrying answer. I'd like to be able to teleport. I really love being able to, you know, pop up at any part of the world at any given time, just because I can, because I want to see something. I think that would be incredible.
So do you listen to music when you write? And if so, what do you listen to?
I used to, because I couldn't always write in quiet places. I'd have to write busy lunchrooms or cafes or a lot of stuff when I was starting out. You know, I was 15, 16. I didn't have, like, workspace. So, yeah, I'd listen to a lot of music to drown out everything around me. But I found I could only listen to some kind of music. If there's lyrics in it, I can get distracted, and I'll start writing down the lyrics of the song instead of whatever story I'm trying to tell, which becomes confusing and copyrighted. So I do listen to music. I do listen to music, but it has to be instrumentals while I'm writing. Sometimes I listen to very specific music. Like if I'm writing something that's supposed to be tense or scary, I go and look up something tense or scary from the soundtrack of the movie, or something funny, or, you know, whenever it is, I try and find something to set the mood.
Okay, last question. if you could take anyone out for coffee, dead, alive, or fictional, who would it be? And you don't have to drink coffee.
Unfortunately dead, but not for that long. I would take out the American science fiction author and, I guess, you know, historical and realism author, Kurt Vonnegut, who my dad's telling me to take him out for coffee, which I could do, but I can see him normally. I'd really like to take out Kurt Vonnegut, author of Breakfast of Champions and Slaughterhouse-Five. His works really spoke to me, and a lot of the things that he's done and told people to do in writing and in life, I'm really sorry that I never got. Not that I would have met him if he was still alive, but I think he's one of the few the few public figures that I would have written to if I discovered him before he died.
So, Tempest is here, so we can go ahead and interview her, and then move together into the topic that is weird habits. Tempest, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So you've been on the show before, I know, right?
Yes.
Okay. I deal with a lot of people, so I get confused sometimes. So, but one of these days I'm going to say that. They're going to be like, no, I've never met you before. I've never... I'll be like, oh, yay.
Well, it's not me. I was on a few months ago.
Okay. Good. So, because, you know, people might not remember who you are, we're going to interview you real quick, and then we're going to move on into the topic. So, okay. If you want to start, why don't you just introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and what you do.
My name is Tempest Saunders, and I write the Mystic Academy series. That's mainly what I do.
Your name is very cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So tell us a bit about your books.
Well, the premise of the series is a girl from Long Island, raised Roman Catholic, comes home to find an acceptance letter to a school she doesn't really know anything about in her bedroom. Now, she doesn't know how it even wound up in her bedroom because nobody's been home. But after making some wheeling and dealing with her parents, they agree to let her go for the first year. And after they leave her there, she finds out the school is actually a school for the supernatural arts. So there's vampires, demons, fairies, werewolves, and other lycanthropes, gods, children of the gods, slayers, all these kinds of supernatural beings at the school. And she has no idea that the supernatural ever even existed. So as the series progresses, she's learning more about the supernatural and more about how she fits into everything as the supernatural world essentially falls into a war within itself. So.
That sounds really good.
Sounds very cool.
I'm sure I said that before. So, how long have you been writing?
I've been writing pretty much as long as I can hold a pen and a pencil. But I got more serious about it when I was in high school. I had a teacher who is a published author, Mel Glenn, who very seriously pushed me to complete projects that I started. I wouldn't have continued with my writing, honing my craft, if it wasn't for him.
That's an amazing opportunity. I would have loved to have a published author in my life when I was a teenager. I can imagine the incredible difference that would make.
It really does.
Yeah, he was amazing. He published poetry. His stories were regular stories, but they were all told through poetry. And he was an amazing teacher. I still keep in touch with him. And we had such a strong personal connection for various reasons. I actually wound up spending 5 years in high school, and he was supposed to retire when I should have graduated. But when he found out that I was being held back the extra year, he stayed the extra year because he promised me my freshman year he wouldn't retire until I graduated.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
So that's the kind of mentor he was to me.
That's absolutely amazing.
Not many kids in the New York City public school system can honestly say that they had a teacher that went out of their way so much to push their passions and encourage them to do things the way I can with Mr. Glenn.
That's incredible. So when did you decide you were going to write a novel? You said that he encouraged you to complete your projects. Were you working on novels in high school?
I was working on various, like, short stories and things like that to kind of work out some of my anger issues when I was in high school. But when I hit college, I started working on different projects. And after a period of time where I couldn't write anything, I suffered a very personal loss in my life. And it left me unable to write anything. I'd sit at my computer for hours, unable to write a single word in a Word document. But after several months of that, all of a sudden I started getting the ideas for the Mystic Academy series, and I wrote the majority of the first book in a week.
Wow.
Wow.
Wait, the whole book?
I pretty much wrote that first book in a week.
That's amazing.
Week.
Holy crap.
Well, I should
the most I've ever done in a month is 50,000. That's incredible.
To be fair, I should mention that I'm an extreme insomniac, so me only getting an hour or so of sleep is kind of normal for me. So I was literally sitting at my computer for like 22 hours a day just typing.
Holy cow. I guess mathematically that works. If you can type 1,000 words an hour, then there you go, 20,000 words a day. Holy cow.
Mike, have either of you ever heard of the NaNoWriMo project?
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually did it last year as a challenge because I remember just saying very angrily, you can't write a whole book in 1 month, so thanks for making me angry. It's good inspiration. I like that it makes you keep track.
Yeah. I actually started the first Mystic Academy book through their Camp NaNoWriMo program, and I finished it in just under 7 days. When I did book two, I cut a day off of the time it took me to finish.
For those listening, can I just say, for those listening at home who might not know what this is, NaNoWriMo is National Writing Novel Month. It's the entire month of November. They have a website that you can sign up, like clearly both of us did, and they give you really like great advice and encouragements to keep going and keep track of your work. It's really cool.
And the camp program is pretty much the same thing, only they send out weekly camp letters, which are like joke letters about how things would be if you were actually at a camp, and they assign you to cabins. So you're in groups with like 5 or 6 other writers that you can have messages, direct messages with at any given time to kind of like push each other along.
So, wow. How do you not have like a billion books out?
Well, there's the downside. I also have severe ADHD. So my mind goes in like 15 million places at once. So if I don't focus on one idea, it's on like 15 different other projects. So my muses either focus on one project or they want me to write 15 other projects at once.
But whenever you focus on one, you can just sit down and write it. In a week.
Pretty much in a week, yeah.
I'm still completely floored by this concept. I can't function. I don't know what's happening.
My wife is jealous about that, too, because she sits down and she plans things, so she knows every single step of the way what's going to happen in her books and everything, and it'll take her months, it'll take her over a year to finish a book, and I don't plan anything. I just sit down and write. And I get it done in a week.
The fastest I've ever written a book was 8 months.
Wow.
That's the fastest I've ever written, like, a single manuscript. So, yeah.
I did my second book in 3 weeks.
Wow.
But I was like, it was like from the crack of dawn to the evening, and it was hard. It was and it was like, I'm probably lying about the 3 weeks. It was probably 2.5. Okay, so Brian, continue interviewing. We're talking over each other. Okay, a couple more questions before we move on to the topic, although we're just about to topic time, so. I guess, who's your favorite villain?
My favorite villain? Oh, I'm a Marvel girl, so pretty much most of the Marvel villains, like, I read the comics, I watch the movies, so...
So, just any Marvel villain?
Well, it depends on what I'm reading at the time. Because, like, reading, like, say, for example, I recently reread the Marvel Civil War comic book. And I gotta say, my favorite villain is, like, Tony Stark, because he thinks he's so right about everything, and yet he's screwing everything in the world up.
I'm not. I just want to see the cat, but I'm just throwing that out there for fun.
Is one of you listening to the show in the background, or listening to something else in the background? We're getting a lot of feedback.
I'm not. I don't have anything on in my room.
Okay. Huh. Are you on speaker, Ben? Because you sound quite far away. And maybe in an aquarium.
No, I'm very sorry. I get complaints when I'm on the phone all the time. I don't know if it's my phone or me, but so I'm really sorry. It is probably somehow my fault.
It's okay. As long as we're not doing anything actively to mess it up and it's just your phone, then it's your phone's fault. Are you in Canada? Could it be Canada's fault? We can just blame the entire country.
We're in Canada.
Whoa. Are you guys hearing all of that feedback, or is it just me? Whoa.
I'm hearing the feedback. I didn't understand it.
Holy. There's a lot. Like, I'm sure if anyone's listening, they're like, they have no idea what's happening.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I mean, we can hear you. You just sound kind of muffled, and there's just a lot of feedback going on. It's like everything's looping around a couple times.
How about now? I'm really sorry. I don't know what's causing us. I'm sorry.
I don't think it's you. It's probably it's probably the Blog Talk Radio thing, because it has problems periodically. It's probably their fault. Or Canada, whatever. Although,
hello?
What just happened? It went away. What happened? Yay!
Yeah, the feedback that was around you just went away.
Ben, talk. Speak to us. Okay. Well, what? What is happening?
I don't know. Did we lose him?
Yeah, he just hung up, or the call was dropped. He was really crystal clear there. Like, the last word that he said was, like, totally different person voice. Like, totally crystal clear, and then he disappeared. But since the feedback is gone, it obviously was his fault. Or Canada. Or whatever. So I guess we can just wait for him to call back and move into the topic. Oh, wait, here he is. Let's see if this works again.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes. Oh, my God.
You're crystal clear now.
You are much better.
Okay.
Crystal clear.
I'm really sorry. That happens to me sometimes. It's I insulted a witch a long time ago, and I didn't know it was a witch. And that it's a very specific curse, I understand. So I'm sorry about that.
Well, I was gonna.
And
say,
I'm sorry
like,
to all the
like
listeners.
An NSA watch list or something? Maybe your phone gets tapped or something.
When I first called into the show, I did talk about taking a TV studio hostage. So probably.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so they might actually be tapping me. That would make sense. I would understand.
Yes, that would make sense. But you're perfect now, so we can continue on. Sorry
you.
To everyone listening. There was like 5 minutes of nonsense there.
I'm very sorry to everyone. If anyone stopped, please come back. Okay, moving on. We were talking about villains.
Yeah, she was saying that it's pretty much any. What did you say? Any? Well, you said Tony Stark, or the Stark family.
Tony Stark, because I just reread, like, Marvel Civil War, and the way he thinks he's fixing everything, but in reality he's just screwing everything up, that it's just, like, the perfect villain, because in my mind he thinks he's doing the right thing, but in reality he's just like, no. It's just like, no, you're really, really going in the opposite direction.
That's funny, because interestingly, when you want to talk about heroes who occasionally become the villain, also from Marvel, I think the Avengers were the villain when I read Avengers versus X-Men. But for a specific villain, if we're going to talk comic books, I always say Magneto, I think, because the scary thing is, with him, it's all villains tend to think that they're doing the right thing. The scary thing, I think, with that character, you know, this is a Holocaust survivor who sees the signs of persecution coming back. Is the scary thing is he could be arguably right. Like, I'm occasionally convinced, you know, even for me Magneto tops like Darth Vader and anything else out there, because sometimes when he's talking you're like, oh, I mean, he's evil, but like, he might not be wrong, which, you know,
you're
I
right.
think is the scariest thing a villain can be.
You're right, you're absolutely right, because he's paranoid in a way, but at the same time, if you look at the state of the world, can you call it paranoid when you're looking at what's actually going on?
No, that's the scary thing. I mean, clearly his methods are wrong. He tends to kill a lot of people when he tries to help, but, you know, the basic argument between in the X-Men between Charles Xavier and Magneto is not so black and white. And I think that's the best kind of thing a villain can be, one where you're like, oh, well, you're the bad guy, but you're just a little tempted, you're just a little like, ooh, he makes a good point, or ooh, I wish I could be that clever, or that slick, or that strong, or, you know, that just anything there, because sometimes he's not even the villain, so it really works for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, like, in the Avengers X-Men storyline, the Avengers totally were, like, out of line.
Oh, totally. I mean, I know, like, I apologize to people who don't read comic books. I know the Phoenix almost destroyed the planet, but it wasn't his fault. Cyclops is right. Okay, that's
exactly.
That's getting very, very specific, so.
Yeah. But another villain that I like, and I have to say it's Freddy Krueger, Wes Craven, you know, rest in peace.
Yeah.
You know, that is one messed up dude.
Yep, that's true. Well, if we're going to talk just scary, scary bad guys, then I have to say the Dementors from Harry Potter are just terrifying monsters to me.
Right?
That's true.
So, since this isn't actually a villains episode,
yes, moving on.
We do have to bring it back around to the topic, which is actually, it's like 6 minutes past topic time, but what if. It's topic time. So, the topic of today is odd habits that you've developed. So, start telling me about that. Tell me about weird habits. And it doesn't have to be writing related, although, you know, it is a writing show, so. But.
I have a habit of dyeing my hair odd colors. I've had my hair 6 or 8 different colors since last July.
Since when?
What colors?
Since last July, I've had my hair 6 or 8 different colors. Like right now, my hair is turquoise.
Wow. Doesn't your hair, like, start to fall out? Do you do it, like, professionally, or do you do it, like, out of the box?
I do it myself, but I use a vegan formula for the hair, the color, and I use heavy conditioners.
Oh. Because I used to dye my hair like that when I was in high school. I mean, it was, you know, green and blue and pink and all that stuff, and then it started falling out. I mean, we would just go get the manic panic from Hot Topic.
Yeah, even
that's
manic panic is
my
actually
hair apart.
Even manic panic is actually vegan now. Their formulas are vegan.
Oh well, they probably weren't back in 2005.
They weren't. They were,
yeah,
still the harsh chemical formulas.
I seem to remember my hair falling out, so I'm pretty sure they weren't. But that's awesome, though. So do you have, like, friends who were, like, super surprised that your hair is a different color? Or is there any kind of, like, pool going on behind your back amongst your friends? What color is it going to be this week?
Well, actually, that's the thing. I love independent wrestling, so I go to at least 2 independent wrestling shows a month. And at this point, the wrestlers recognize me because they're wondering what color hair I'm going to show up with. And they all want to have a say on what color hair I should go with next. So, you know, it's a voting pool. Whenever I see my friends who are wrestlers, you know, I want you to do this color, I want you to do that color. Like with Velvet Sky, her answer is always pink.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you have to go back to pink.
Turquoise is a big color. I like the color turquoise.
So have you been every color then? Like, have you ran out of colors and you started doing the same color over again?
At this point, I have pretty much done every color except I haven't done a deep red right now, like the bright, bright red. I haven't done that in about 3 years because I stopped doing that kind of dyeing of my hair. I actually let my natural hair color grow in, and I just started again. I don't know. I just woke up one day last summer, and I was like, I want to turn my hair purple. And that's what I do with today.
So do you ever, like, forget what color your hair is? Like your real hair?
No, there are pictures somewhere around. I'm sure someone has pictures.
Because when I grew my hair out, I was actually surprised that it wasn't quite as dark as I remembered it being. Like after, like I was like, this is the color of my hair? Like I always hated the color of my hair, I guess, when I was a kid. I always wanted to dye it. And then it was like when I finally let it grow out, it's like, what is this? Look, whose hair is this? This is actually nice.
No, my parents, they have pictures from before I started dyeing my hair, and when they see that I've started doing this again, my mom threatens to bleach my hair in the bathroom. So, like, at my cousin's wedding a couple of years ago, she threatened to, like, bleach my hair in the bathroom at the wedding reception.
Wow.
And I'm just like, lady, you're shorter than me. Get away.
So that's kind of an odd habit, like dyeing your hair. Do you know why you do it, besides the fact that you just feel like it?
I think I started doing it again because I lost the ability to paint. I used to paint abstracts. And I have fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. And I also have damage to the cartilage in my left. I can't hold a paintbrush anymore.
Oh, wow.
Because it'll fall out of my hand if I try to hold, like, my palette or I hold the paintbrushes for too long. I will randomly drop them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of big messes to clean up.
Well, that's kind of a good, it's a good way to, you know, express that creativity and that color on your hair.
I think so.
So do you have any other weird habits? Unless Ben would like to go.
Let Ben go.
Well, I dyed my hair once, but it was just for a day or two. I think habits that I find myself muttering words from, or I consider each of my manuscripts to have certain keywords that carry themes. I find myself, you know, speaking or scratching those into places during the day. I also find myself occasionally trying to move or react like my characters would, which I know is a strange thing, and I don't think I've ever done it with people around, but I do. I'll take a step forwards and I'll think, well, this person is very, you know, is very long legs or is very loose or clumsy, and I'll try and imitate that. Other habits that I've picked up are stealing scraps of paper and writing down notes on them, and then forgetting about the scraps of paper. But that's something I found I do almost unconsciously. I know that because I've gone through all my old notes and picked out old essays, and I'll find scratch in pen completely unrelated to academia or notes for myself from my stories and my writing. Other habits, I like to take off my socks when I'm writing. I just do. I don't know why. I think I said that before. I also, you know, I need to go and take walks. And I also, I sometimes change my clothes. I'll change what kind of outfit I'm wearing for, you know, writing a different thing. It's, like, I really try and find a kind of method. Like, am I writing something that's more casual or more adolescent or more serious or tense, and I unconsciously I find myself doing things to slide into that kind of mode of being. Also, if there's like anything bouncy in my vicinity or coins or anything that I can fiddle with or do tiny magic tricks with, I will take that and I will do it. I probably have lost loonies trying to make them magically disappear while sitting at my desk. and it just vanished into the ether. All these things, you know, all of these things are things that I pick up. Even in conversation, I'll unconsciously, I'll find myself saying words with an emphasis of going, oh, yeah, no, I wrote this one down. This one's important. Just, you know, really wherever I am. What I'm saying is it's completely consumed my life. There's nothing left of me except books.
I kind of get that. When my muses start, that's it. Nothing else matters. My wife has to, like, come poke me and remind me to eat or drink, you know, take my medication. Like, you need to sleep. You need to do this. Nothing matters.
Yeah. I'm an insomniac living away from home, so unless my roommate becomes especially concerned, I think there are just nights where I just don't know, you know, I'm working enough, I'm just, oh, the sun's back. It was there a minute ago, it was gone, now it's back again.
I've done that.
Yeah.
My wife is gone in bed, and I've stayed up, and I've done that.
I've had this weird thing happen where I've been writing or working on my website, like, for, you know, 12 or 16 hours straight or something, and I've looked up at the clock and it's been like 4:30, and I'm like, holy mother of crap, it's 4:30 in the morning. And then I look around and realize it's 4:30 in the afternoon. I've just been working since 6 a.m. and I have no concept of where I am or what I'm doing or I always find that the silliest, because I feel like I've been working for, you know, 20 hours and I've been working for 12, but you definitely lose a sense of everything around you when you get into that kind of habit.
Exactly. But an odd habit that I've developed with my writing is, like I told you before, the world of the supernatural kind of falls into a war, so there are battle scenes in my books, and when I write those, I have the entrance music for a lot of my friends who are wrestlers on my iTunes, so I'll sit there and I'll just loop things like that. You know, if I'm just writing the kids at the school just hanging out, I've got pop music. You know, so I've got specific kinds of music I'll listen to for specific kinds of scenes and
yeah,
everything. And, like, I didn't used to be like that. I used to just be like, okay, I'll just shuffle and whatever comes on, or doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and like I said, my focus is too much for that. I can't listen to something that I have to genuinely pay attention to. I can only create an atmosphere.
See, that's the difference with me. I come from, like, a huge family, so I can tune anything out. Like, I have four brothers, a sister, and, you know, at one point in the apartment that I lived in with my parents growing up in Brooklyn, it was me, my younger brother, one of my older brothers, three of my cousins, and my parents. Because my parents took my cousins in as foster kids. So I literally learned to tune everything out.
Well, I'm actually mostly deaf, so it's not so much a matter of what I need to tune out. I can't hear anything. It's more what am I capable of taking in is really my focus. I can stand in a room full of people all shouting one word at me, and I'll be like, what? So it's not really a matter of tuning out, but when I listen to music to work, it's about, you know, what am I taking in and what am I incorporating.
That's interesting. I never thought about that, actually.
I think it's important to make sure you understand what you're taking in when you're telling a story.
That's actually a good point. You gave me something to think about.
Oh, good. That's always good.
So before we start wrapping it up, I did want to talk a little bit about habits. And they say that it's scientifically proven or whatever that you can make or break a habit in 21 days. Have you guys ever, I don't know, started doing something on purpose and found it became a habit, or have you ever broken a habit on accident or on purpose?
Yeah, when I was a little kid, I used to, I remember, I can't remember what it was called, but there was this video game everyone in my school played, and I got to a point where I did nothing else, and then I just kind of broke it off. Although, to be honest, most of my habits are pretty unconscious and pretty consistent, so I can't really think of anything that I've, at least in, you know, recently, picked up and then broken off again. Although I'm sure there is, and I'm just not thinking of it.
I can't think of any habits that I've broken. I know that I unintentionally formed a habit that literally every time I go visit Salem up in Massachusetts, even if I try not to spend like a ton of money, I have to come home with at least one dragon, and I usually end up coming home with an entire set. So I have like all these dragons around my room.
Well, that sounds fun. I'm incapable of going to a bookstore or a comic shop without buying something. I don't if I don't.
I don't think any of us are capable of walking into a bookstore and just leaving.
I probably could, maybe. I just don't go to them, though. Like, I really don't. I was at Barnes & Noble the other day, and I realized that I had not set foot in a bookstore in years. And I was wandering around Barnes & Noble, and I had this whole, like I had at least five things. And I was like, well, yeah, this is why I don't go in here anymore. Because I am, like, so poor, and I had, like, $50 worth of stuff. And then I had to have this big, dramatic, like, silent debate with myself about, because like I was like, okay, you can get one thing, not five things, and I had to pick a thing. It was very dramatic.
Well, I live very downtown in my city, and there's so many bookstores constantly around me, and I work at my university, which has its own bookstores, so I can't
avoid them like that. I wish I could. No, I don't. It's fine.
If I were to go into bookstores, I would be poor and homeless, and, like, I would live in a cardboard box. Or, no, I'd live in a giant, like, book house. I'd just stack them up around me. Put a tarp over it.
I have so many books, and I haven't read some of them. I have to put them in my storage unit. Because I have absolutely nowhere to put them.
In the basement of
See,
my
I,
grandfather's
I don't,
house
I don't
is
have
a library, and that's my goal.
I hardly have any. I hardly have any books because I don't go to bookstores because I have this. I know that if I do, if I were to, like, embrace it, like, it's a constant fight. If I were to embrace it and go to bookstores and buy books all the time, I would be that way. I'd have a storage unit specifically for my books. But but I don't. So I don't even, like, all my books, I know I don't buy any new ones unless they're on the Kindle. I mean, my Kindle has like 300 books on it, so that's also kind of a problem, I guess.
So when you are buying books, you can't be physically faced with the consequences and such. Okay.
Well, right, because if it's like $2.99, I will buy it if there's $3.50 in my bank account. I'm really bad about that. Like,
what would stop me?
Yeah.
Be like, I can buy books and not even put my shoes on. This is great. That would be it.
See, I got the Nook.
You have a Nook? You really actually have a Nook?
Yeah, I don't actually use the actual Nook. I use the Nook app on my tablet, but I actually have a Nook. I have the.
I don't think I've ever actually met someone who uses the Nook. Everybody I know uses Kindle.
I know people who use Kobo.
Is it the same?
It's similar. I've used the Kindle app and I've used the Nook app. They're pretty similar, actually.
Hmm.
Can't you get all of the notebooks for the Kindle?
From what I've seen, almost all of them, yeah.
I've never really understood the Nook. Like, I guess it was a big deal when it first happened, but then, like, Amazon came out with the Kindle, and I feel like the Nook was no longer relevant.
Well, now they've updated it so that the Nook is actually, I believe, a Samsung tablet on top of it. So,
catching
up the technology
too.
With the Kindle. So,
See, I totally support ebooks. You know, however anyone can read, and I think it's awesome and portable. I personally, I can't because I know you can even do this, but I like to write. In my books, I like to annotate and underline and fold pages over.
Oh, my God,
over.
The horror.
There's, well, no, I think, you know, if you own a book, then it's yours, and you might as well pour your soul into it. I've been to, I had a professor lend me a book once. It was a copy of, that's never going to come back to me. But it was filled with tiny notations probably dating back 30 years. It was like reading something else on top of the story. And it was, you know, it was really like kind of an astonishing and wonderful experience. So I've actually made a point. So if I walk around with a pen, I write down observations. I completely, like, if you take an ebook, you know, that's transport. I have books, if it's 1,000 pages, I can't take that on the subway. So however you read, I think, as long as you're reading.
Yeah, that's exactly why I ultimately got the Nook, because like I said, I have the problem with gripping things, so it was easier for me to carry that around than to carry around, say, the Harry Potter books or the Rick Riordan books that are, like, huge. You know, those are heavy, and I can't trust myself to carry, like, my paint, like, my palette. How am I supposed to carry a book like that? So that's why.
So we do have to wrap it up. I can only do an hour today.
Okay.
But we made it through our hour.
Yes, we
Although
did.
Although I think that we could have had better habits. I mean, really.
Well,
nobody bites their nails I don't know, bites their toenails. That would be weird.
That's an awful habit.
Another habit, real quick. I actually have another habit, real quick. That's a little odd. I collect the Ever After High dolls.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a Mattel line. They have cartoons that go with it. It's essentially the children of the. You know how Once Upon a Time is the stories, the fairy tales and everything? Ever After High is the children.
So they're like Barbies, but they're like for the Ever After High School TV show, you said?
Yeah, only they're much cooler than Barbie dolls.
Well, just when you say dolls, I imagine like those creepy ceramic dolls.
No.
When you say you collect them, I suddenly have a problem.
No. Ceramic dolls creep me out. But there's an odd habit. I'm in my 30s and I'm collecting Mattel dolls.
And you're defending them when I say they're like Barbies.
They have like
much
different
cooler.
Colors. I have one. I'm looking at one that has pink hair. And like you've got the daughter of the Cheshire Cat and everything. It's actually pretty cool.
I'll take your word for it.
I'm a strange person if you get to know me.
Who is it?
Okay. Well, we got to wrap it up. We had a great show today. Thank you guys for being on. I really appreciate it.
I had fun.
Thank you for having us.
Feel free to call in and talk, you know, on the other weeks if you guys feel like listening to the show. We do this every week, not just once a month when you guys are on.
Okay. Cool.
You can always tune in. But thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
I'll talk to you later.
Well, thank you.
All right. Bye.
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 Alrighty, folks. So that was today's show, Odd Habits. And, yeah, we will be here next week, same time, same place. I look forward to hearing or talking to you then. Or and hearing from you, because you'll call in. You will. You will call in. Bye.